welcome to episode number 68 of the Web 2.0 show. I am your host, Adam Stachowiak. Today we're going to talk with Ryan Carson. Ryan is a co-founder of Carsonify. They're best known for their world-class events such as Future of Web Apps, Future of Web Design, Future of Mobile. And they're also known for their awesome blog called Think Vitamin, as well as their brand new podcast, Think Vitamin Radio. Ryan was a blast to have a chat with. I mean, the guy is so down to earth. And, I mean, you could really tell that he's really humble and where he's at. I mean, get this. They're also producing Twitter's official Twitter conference called Chirp. If you're going to be in San Francisco between April 14th and 15th, head to chirp.twitter.com right now to check it out. They also have their upcoming Future of Web Apps event happening in Miami here in May 22nd through the 24th, which I plan to be at. So if you plan to be there, let me know. I'd love to connect with you. Last episode, I mentioned the fact that I partnered with Grasshopper on something very cool. We just launched this brand new segment of the Web 2.0 show called Pitch the Show. We get so many emails and so many requests to come on the show that we just thought that, yeah, why not launch Pitch the Show to give anyone a chance to call in and pitch their business for a chance to be featured on the show. All they need to do is call 1-888-WEB20SHOW and give us their best 90-second pitch about their business. Each month, we go through all the pitches we get, and we just pick out two to be featured on an upcoming episode of the Web 2.0 show. So it's pretty cool. Not only does this give them an exercise of, you know, learning how to pitch their business to people, but it also gives them the exposure to us, the judging panel, as well as the listeners, you. And thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you guys listening, as well as the special guests that come on the show. So it's really a good experience for these businesses who want to be on the show. If you want to learn more, head to web20show.com/pitch. If you're not following me and you're not following the show on Twitter, please do so now. Go to twitter.com/AdamSTAC and also WEB20Show. That's Web20Show on Twitter. Thanks so much for listening and enjoy the show. I'm here with Ryan Carson. Ryan is one of the founders of Carsonified, and if you know Carsonified, you probably do if you're a cool web entrepreneur. They're most known for their world-class events such as FOA, Future of Web Apps, and Future of Web Design, and a bunch of other cool stuff, but I'll let Ryan tell it best. So, Ryan, let's get started with a bit of an introduction. Tell us about who you are and what you do at Carsonified.
All right, thanks. It's so good to be on the show. I appreciate the invite. Basically, I run a company here in England called Carsonified, and I basically am an ex-web developer. I have a web. I have a computer science degree. I got that back at Colorado State University in 2000 and came over here just on a whim, really, and ended up staying and starting a company and marrying a wonderful woman who's now my partner as well at Carsonified. So, yeah, we do events for web designers and developers, and we also build the occasional web app like DropSend, and also we're working on a new show at Twitter called Chirp. So it's all kind of crazy and exciting over here.
So you got a lot going on then.
Yeah, it's a little busy, but you know, this is kind of a more serious note, but I recently lost my grandmother, and I think seeing her at the end of her life, you know, remind me that it is always good to be busy and to be able, because, you know, there's going to be a day when it's going to be hard to be busy. So I'm thankful.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. That's certainly a good point, though, is when you do have the ability to be what you can be, do it your best.
Exactly.
So you mentioned that you were in Colorado and you'd done school there, and on a whim you went to the UK. Well, what actually took you to the UK?
It's a little embarrassing, but basically I saw the film Notting Hill with good old Hugh Grant, and I thought London looks kind of cool, and I thought, you know, I guess I could graduate and go to some, you know, big tech company like IBM or Sun, because everyone in my computer science class was getting, you know, crazy offers, you know, $50,000 straight out of the door plus a, you know, BMW signing bonus. And that was kind of back in during the crazy days. And I just thought, you know, that I can see where my life is going to go if I do that. And I just want to mix it up a little bit right now, and then maybe later I'll settle down.
And, you say crazy days. How long ago was crazy days?
It was right at 2000, so right at the height of the bubble, you know, where pets.com and all that kind of stuff was happening.
Right.
And just, you know, computer science graduates, you know, could not get snapped up quick enough. I mean, just people were begging you to work for them. So, and then about a year later, none of us had jobs. So that was quite exciting.
There's something iconic about you, and it's always on top of your head. It's called a hat.
Yeah.
What's the backstory on the hat?
The hats. It actually all started in 2006. I was at a conference myself, not one of ours, and I was just kind of walking around, and I had brought a hat randomly with me, and I didn't wear it. And I just thought, you know what? I bet if I wear a hat, people will be able to recognize me better, because you know, you meet hundreds of people at a conference, and I just thought, if I wear a hat, it'll be easier to remember me. So I started wearing it, and now literally people, I could walk up to people without my hat, and they'd have no idea who I am. So it's really, it's funny. It's definitely a part of my, whatever you want to call it, you know, online brand.
I'm glad you mentioned brand, because I think that I've been a fan of what you've been doing for quite a long time. I think even back when you were called, I think it was called Carson Systems, wasn't it?
That's right. Yep, that's right.
So you went through a rebrand, but I guess more specifically about a rebrand from Carson Systems to Carsonified. How do you, I guess let's tell the story real quick about your rebranding process, and I have another question on that note too.
Yeah, of course. I originally chose the name Carson Systems when I was a developer and I was building software, you know, essentially web apps. And I thought I was going to be building web apps, you know, as a company. And Carson Systems sound kind of cool and kind of, you know, solid. And I had no idea that it was going to turn into, you know, this company that it is now. You know, we're up to 12 full-time people now. And then it just became a point when I was like, you know what? I hate that name. It's so boring and corporate, and I have no idea why I chose Carson Systems. So, but interestingly enough, I told the team about it, and someone on the team said, well, you know, what about Carsonified? Because I was blogging at carsonified.com just as my personal blog, and they said, that's kind of a cool name. You know, it's different. It's kind of a verb, you know, to be carsonified. So why don't you, we use that? And I thought, well, okay. And we kind of took a vote and everybody liked it. So bam, it was born. And at that time, Elliot J. Stocks was our designer, and he did the rebrand and came out great. We wanted something friendly. I mean, we're a friendly company. You know, we try to take care of people, and I wanted that reflected in the logo. So that's how we became Carsonified.
I like that story. That's I like what you mentioned too on your jobs page. I think there's some, if you're listening, go ahead and go to carsonified.com/jobs and read some of the copy they have there. But I like a lot of the copy you have on that page, and what you just said, it's really reflected well in that copy about how you even pitch the people that potentially want to come and work for you.
Yeah, we think that's important, you know, to treat your team as best as well as you possibly can. There's actually another benefit that's not up there yet, which we just introduced, which is unlimited innocent smoothies and other things like that, so that people can be healthier at work. But you know what's cool, though, is actually a lot of the copy was written by Mike Koos, our designer. I wrote some of it, but he's actually a musician, and he was in a band a while ago, and he wrote lots of their lyrics, and he's brilliant with words. So he and I really see eye to eye as far as the persona of, yeah, the vision and the persona of the company. You know, we're friendly, we're casual, we're relaxed. And that he just wrote almost all the copy. I wrote the copy for the mission page, because that's obviously really important, that I wanted to exactly reflect what I believe the company is all about. But most of it came from Mike.
That's kind of wild. It's nice whenever you have somebody working with you like that. They just connect so well with where you want to go and what you want to do. And I guess that kind of ties back to this next question. It's sort of a good segue into it, which is, you blogged at Carsonified.com, and then you turned your company from Carsonified or Carson Systems into Carsonified. How do you keep the separation of brand versus, you know, your business brand, your personal brand?
I'm actually trying to play down my personal brand right now, just because it's important that the company, you know, is known on its own, you know, because otherwise I have to do everything from a brand perspective, and that's not very viable. So I think you know, I don't understand why people, you know, would use their full name to name their company, you know, for instance, you know, Bob Jones Design or et cetera, because it really ties you too much in the company. And you have to kind of be the face no matter what happens. Whereas, you know, I'm trying to train the team to become more of the outward facing, brand, so that they can take part in that just because it's fun. You know, I don't want to be the guy who everyone thinks, you know, I am carsonified because I'm not. You know, all the work is done by other people. So I think it's important to separate the two, and I'm trying to actually reduce the fact that people think I am carsonified, because the team here are the real heroes, and they do all the hard work and a lot of the thinking. So I would advise people to be careful about combining too much. People might say I'm being hypocritical because my company has my last name in the name. But I just, you know, I don't think that it's super obvious that that's my last name unless you knew me. So
I know a lot of people that whenever they mention you, they actually call you Carson accidentally.
I know. I've never been able to understand that. I was like, what is that about? Yeah. But there you go.
Yeah. So I guess one of the big things that comes out of Carsonified is your world-class events. We mentioned them in the introduction, Future Web Design, Future Web Apps, and I'm a big, big fan of FOA. I can't wait to go there in Miami this February. But, you know, questions I have for you around that is, you know, what kind of gave you the idea to really start doing these events?
Well, we never planned on doing events in the beginning. And what happened is we did our very first workshop called How to Build an Enterprise Class Website with PHP, I think it was called. And I was a PHP developer, so I just thought that would be a good topic. And I got Mike Buzzard, who is the lead developer at Cuban Council, and Chris Lay, who's the CTO, I believe, of Media Temple, in to talk. And they talked, and it sold out. And it was just, it was so much fun, number one. But number two, it was great business. And I just thought, gosh, this is kind of cool. You know, I really enjoy connecting people and encouraging people and training people. Let's do another one. You know, and we kept doing more and more. And we eventually called it Carson Workshops. And we were just really lucky to work with huge names like Eric Meyer, you know, Cal Henderson, the developer of Flickr, Dave Shea, you know, the CSS, Zen Garden, God,
yeah,
call him.
For sure.
You know, we just work with the best of the best. And thankfully, you know, that was really, really great. And just then eventually we thought, you know, let's do a big conference because everybody is, let's do a big conference in the UK because everybody is talking about Silicon Valley. And to be honest, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the fact that everyone's saying you have to be in Silicon Valley to succeed. And I'm going to change that by producing a huge conference in the UK about web apps. And that's where Future Web Apps was born. And that's also why we're doing it in Miami. We feel Miami is, and Florida and the East Coast of the United States in general is kind of ignored, and, you know, by the web community. There's not as much going on. And we felt, you know, we've done Miami. This will be our third year in Miami. And it's a great way to get that community together. It's also a large Hispanic community that comes along to that. And that's really exciting as well. So all of our events are born out of the desire to connect, encourage, and inspire people. And we just live and breathe that every second of the day. So that's what we're all about.
I love that. That's an awesome story. I think connecting people, like you mentioned earlier, you take some, you know, deep satisfaction in helping to connect people. And you asked me earlier before we got started with the interview, you know, why I do this show. And that's a big piece of why I do this show. It's not that I am a connector or I know a lot of people. It's just that if I can place a connection between two people that never knew each other, I mean, what a great gift to do that.
Totally. Yeah, no, I think you're lucky. I wish I could do your job.
That's awesome. So these events, they span from London, New York, Miami. I mean, there's probably tons and tons of work to go into making these events happen. And, you know, you use the word world-class, and I really appreciate that word because I think, you know, if you really step back and look at all these events, they really are world-class events. But, you know, what are we talking in terms of budget to make them happen? And what does it take to make them work?
Well, we definitely are raising our game even more in 2010. Future Web Apps London, and it's going to be at a beautiful new venue with two tracks this time, and we do a lot of detail related things that attendees probably don't even know about, and they end up being expensive. We really try to take care of our speakers well, and we do all sorts of special things, and I'm not talking necessarily paying them a lot of money. It's more about taking good care of them and treating them right. But events are expensive, you know, and I don't think people should try to run an event for fun on the side, because what happens is sometimes you can do that and the first year it's a lot of fun and everyone loves it, but the problem is to do it again year after year, it really has to make you money. You have to turn it into a business, and if you can't, what will happen is the second year you'll kind of, you know, realize you've got a lot of work to do, you've got clients to take care of, and the event will fall by the wayside, and you actually end up doing a disservice to the community because there's no consistency to the show. So, you know, we make it our business making amazing events for web designers and developers. But they're really expensive. I mean, I won't talk about budgets, but it's, you know, it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, for a really good show.
I know when you go, you can certainly see that. I didn't ask you the budget question just because I wanted to know, you know, down to the penny what you're spending. I just can imagine that they do require, like you said, a lot of dedication. I think past year one, like you said, if you don't turn into the business part of it, you kind of just, you have a chance to lose the initial essence.
Yeah, I mean, and we totally are, we love people launching events. Like, I love what the guys did with LessConf. I wanted to go, actually, but I just couldn't make it over.
Man, that was an awesome event. I mean, I'll just give a shout-out to my good friends, Alan and Steve, and
I know.
They're great guys, and what they did with that event was just, it was magical. It really was awesome.
I know. And I really wanted to go, but I'm a new father. So it's harder for me to jump on a plane and get out of
the
UK.
That's true. How old is Jackson?
He's almost two now, and he's saying all sorts of cute things like, you know, bye bye mommy and stuff like that.
those are the awesome days, man. I mean, you know, good for you that you decided to stay home, because I'm a father as well. My daughter's six, and those things, you just, man, those are the best years, you know?
Yeah, and I don't want to miss stuff. I mean, we work a 4-day week at Carsonified, and only now that I'm a dad, I can really see how that's valuable, because, you know, every Friday I get to spend the whole day with Jackson and Jill, and it's just, yeah, I wouldn't pass it up for the world.
So you hold what Gary says in his book to heart, you know, family comes first.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, and what's interesting is, I definitely have a tendency to be a workaholic though. And, I absolutely love what we do. And what's been interesting is I've recently realized that the amount of work, will never go away. Even if I work, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So actually it's my new kind of mission to fit in my work exactly within working hours. So I'm trying to be much more efficient. I do get up at 5 a.m. every day. But that's because I've always been a morning guy. I got up with my dad when I was a kid at 5 a.m. And I don't know, maybe I just got used to it. But I love the quietness, and it also gives me a chance to kind of think and get some things done before Jackson and Jill get up. So, but besides that, you know, in general, we try to keep to the 4-day week.
He also wrote a blog post that listed a part on that, right? That's still up.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's called the 4-day week challenge. And we're still doing it today. The company has been doing it now for almost 4 years, and wow. We're up to 12 full-time people. So, you know, it works. It really does. I just encourage people to give it a try.
So, I guess if you do another zoom out on the event websites and your website and all the things that you touch, even, and we'll talk about some of these things too, but some of the things you kind of do for fun, like your 4-day projects and your idea weeks and stuff like that, there's always an element of fantastic design behind that. Now, you mentioned a name earlier,
Mike Kuss. Yep.
So is he your kind of your core designer?
He is. Yeah. We only have one full-time designer, and that's Mike. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Kuss. That's K-U-S. And he's just a super talented designer. He came from print and learned web about, I would say, 2 years ago. And what's great about that is actually he brings in a lot of print sort of influence into a lot of his work. So if you look at chirp.twitter.com, for instance, you know, you can see there's a, it's almost pure illustration, but the wonderful thing about it is the site is completely accessible. Like if you turn off images, turn off the styles, you know, if you're reading that and you're low sighted or if you're using a screen reader, it's no problem whatsoever. Except for on Chrome, which actually has a bug. It doesn't display alt text on the screen if you turn off images, but Google needs to sort that out. But, you know, he's really getting into, you know, not only beautiful design, but how do we make it really accessible? And I think that's important for every web designer out there.
That's funny how you mention his design style, too, and especially that he comes from print because, and I'm not sure how well you know Paul Boag, but I'm assuming that he's probably a close friend, right?
Very, very well. He's an awesome guy.
So he wrote a blog post not too long ago. I think it was about maybe back in November last year called Stop Designing Websites, Start Designing Posters. And I think a lot of the elements of design that I see in Mike's designs is just that. It's like very poster-like, very print-like. And that's a very unique trait to bring to web because we kind of get stuck in these boxes. And that sucks. And I myself get stuck in boxes, and that kind of sucks bad.
I know it's hard. And interestingly enough, though, I think he's starting to rebel against the fact that people are sort of pigeonholing him as kind of a, you know, an illustration work guy. We're just about to launch the new futurewebdesign.com site. And you'll see that it's very non-illustrative. And I think he's trying to prove to everybody that he wasn't a one-trick pony.
Gotcha. So. Good. When is that going up?
It's going up at Tuesday at – it'll be – 9 a.m. London time, so that's kind of in the middle of the early morning for you guys. So basically Tuesday next week.
So how do you find great designers like Mike? You know, like I know you mentioned early disc docs earlier, and I have some questions about that relationship, and I'm curious to see if you were sad, but we'll go fast forward to Mike real quick. But how do you find someone like Mike?
It's hard. It's super hard to find good designers that are also great web designers. We basically went out to the web, Googled, you know, things, looked at people's sites, and proactively contacted people. And Mike was a designer who was just in another small town in the UK, and he wasn't thinking about getting a job anywhere or doing anything new. And we went to him and said, you know what, your work is freaking great. You know, would you consider working for us? And we went out there and actively contacted, I think it was about 15 web designers. And we narrowed it down to Mike and another guy named Andrew Pendrick and just did a couple interviews and ended up going with Mike and could not be happier. I'm sure he gets job offers every day. So he's been faithful. And stayed with us. I think, you know, it's because hopefully it's a lot of fun to be here, but it's tough. It's hard to find good designers. I'd recommend 37 Signals, little product. Used to be called Haystack. I think it's called Sortfolio now. That's a possibility, but the problem is that's more, you know, hiring freelancers. Hiring a freelance for a job versus a full-time job. So it's tough.
So I guess when you look back on that page we referenced earlier on your site, the jobs page, those aren't just, I guess you'd say, would you call them lures to get people to look at you as a potential employer, but also retainers?
Totally. I think it's taking care of your team is good on so many levels. It's the right thing to do, number one. Number two, it makes recruiting really easy. You know, all we have to do is tell people we work a 4-day week and, you know, we pay well and we also serve free lunches, you know, and we give everybody iPhones and Macs and we go, you know, travel around the world and pretty much they're begging to work for you. We opened up a position for an office manager and sales assistant. I think I got, you know, over 30 or 40 requests and I had to interview, you know, 15 people and, you know, it's kind of crazy. So it's good on everyone's, for everybody. It's good for me as the founder, it's good for the team. So yeah, people should be doing this.
We talked about your events earlier and, you know, those go all around the world, but what do you do for people who can't afford to come out? Like, I saw on your site, you mentioned summer camp and what was that about? And you guys plan to do that annually?
Yeah, well, actually, we just launched something brand new, which literally is for anyone in the whole world, and it's an online conference. And it's called the CSS3 online conference. And the idea there is that we just use a technology called WebEx. And the idea is that no matter where you are in the world, you know, you can go to that conference. It's specifically on CSS3, just because that's a really popular topic. So if you want to check that out, that's at carsonify.com/online-conferences/CSS3. And so that's what we're doing for that. You know, we've had a lot of people in Australia, in South America, and in Russia, and Canada just saying, hey, I want to come to your shows, but I can't. So we're going to do that. The other thing is, yeah, we do a couple fun things like summer camp. We, if you are near our shows, but you can't come because you can't afford it, we try to do a couple free things throughout the year. Summer camp is one of those where we basically invite students or first time entrepreneurs for free to come to our office for 2 or 3 days. And we have intensive, you know, full day sessions about, branding and finances and design and development, to try to pass on some of our knowledge. And, we had a really cool intern that helped us run that program this year. But if you want to check that out, that's at summercamp.carsonify.com. And that's been really fun. We try to do little things like that to give back to the community.
And then you also have something else new that's up too. You have your podcast.
Yes. So, yeah, we just launched Think Vitamin Radio. So Think Vitamin is our blog for web designers and developers and entrepreneurs. And that's at carsonify.com/blog. And we thought, you know what? Why aren't we doing a podcast? You know, we have, you know, something like 55,000 subscribers and we get over, you know, 5 million page views a year, and we should just do something fun. So we launched that recently, and it's just, you know how it is. It's fun to actually sit around and talk about the web. You know, you're so busy banging out emails and doing stuff all the time that it's nice to sit back and do something and then just talk about it.
Yeah, it's a blast. I mean, I get to catch up with people like you all the time. It's a lot of
fun.
Thank you. What I like about Think Vitamin 2, though, is that you guys started from a blog. And I think, you know, Think Vitamin actually has been around for I guess, about 4 years now?
Yeah, it's been around for a while now.
It's been a while. There's been lots of awesome articles. It's had a few different facelifts, and now it's your full-time blog now, right, for the company?
Correct. And ironically, I think we're going to move it back to thinkvitamin.com because it's just it just feels like it should be on its own domain again, and I think we're going to move that over sometime. It's right now it's on carsonify.com/blog, but I think we're going to move it back and give it some more independence.
And when I caught your episode that you guys did earlier today on Ustream, I caught a live feed of that. You'd mentioned somebody that I use too in my podcast, which is Buzzsprout. What do you guys do with Buzzsprout? How's that relationship?
We love Buzzsprout. They give you great analytics on your podcast feed and how many downloads you have, and also the interface is nice. It's so great that more and more web apps these days are designed well, and you know, it's not like logging into some cryptic, well, like FeedBurner. FeedBurner is getting a bit dated these days, and it's nice to log into an app like Buzzsprout that actually looks good and does a great job, you know, reporting the facts that you need to know. So they're great.
If you're curious, I actually did an interview with them too. Episode 62 had Tom and Kevin on because they call themselves, you know, a tiny little rail shop out of Jacksonville, Florida. They build their own products. They're a products company. I thought they had a very unique story because you know, like you and I, we have families, we have what we do, but they also have their passions, and their passion is, you know, building products. And you're a user of them, and so am I, but they're really passionate about taking care of their users. They're really passionate about, you know, building products that are useful, have elegant interfaces, and really just taking care of their users. So I thought they had
definitely
a fun story, and I had to talk to them about that.
Yeah, highly recommended.
Something you mentioned earlier, too, and I was kind of curious about, was your survival toolkits. Is that what you called them?
Yeah, we're launching something brand new called the Web Designers Toolkit. And I just wanted to do something that would be super duper valuable for web designers. And so we're gonna sell that on Think Vitamin, but we're actually going to give it away to all of our attendees to Future Web Design London and more. And it's basically 7 different survival kits on topics like jQuery, UX, CSS3, HTML5. And there's going to be over 28 hours of screencast tutorials on there, and also a couple fun things like, you know, free WordPress templates, really nice ones. There's also going to be an ebook on there that's all about how to run a web design business. So that's something we're really excited about launching.
That sounds exciting for sure.
Thanks.
And that's really awesome that you're going to give it away. So is it you're giving it away to the folks that come to the London event, or is it Miami too and New York?
I wish we could give it away to the guys in Miami, but it's not going to be done yet. But for sure in the future, we'll be doing that for all of our shows.
Maybe an IOU.
Hey, maybe. Yeah, come back to me.
So we've talked a lot about, you know, where you've been at, but where are you heading? Like, where do you see Carsonified in the next 2 years? I know I really hate future questions for me, but, you know, I think you probably have a decent vision. I'm just kind of curious where you're going.
I think we're going to do launch a couple more shows. Maybe we'll take future web apps somewhere else in the world, future web design somewhere else in the world. We'll probably launch some new conferences as well. But I think we're also going to launch a couple websites. I'm really excited about, I have a hobby, and I'm a little bit obsessed with Lego Star Wars. So I think we'll see. And no promise is going to launch some sort of Lego Star Wars site just for fun. That may happen this year. So we're going to do a couple things like that. We're going to really put a lot of effort into Think Vitamin and producing good quality, free content for web designers and developers and entrepreneurs. But it's hard, like you said. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we'll grow a little bit more as a team, I think, and just focus on continuing to connect and inspire the whole web design community. That's our hope.
So you mentioned earlier that that you guys do web apps, and I think you had one before. I don't think, because I actually know I was a user of it, DropSend. That was a very successful thing, and you got it acquired. And I'm not sure if we should tell a story about that or how important it is, but I think it's an important piece to see that's one of – I guess it actually does have a pretty fun story to that, because you guys started out building that with $40,000, if I remember correctly. Like, wasn't it just like an initial investment of $40,000 to get started?
Yep. Yeah, and that was spread out over, you know, a good sort of 6 months. So it was a great example of bootstrapping a company or an app, really. And we got it designed and built and launched, and it was wonderful. I mean, I learned a lot about, you know, marketing and building a web app and managing it afterwards. And it was very successful. I mean, right before we sold it, it was doing over $25,000 a month in revenue. And I think I actually regret selling it now, because it's doing much, much better. The guy that bought it, you know, has optimized it and really taken it further. And now, looking back, of course, I'd say, well, I wish I wouldn't have sold it. But at the same time, you know, we made a ton of cash out of it, and it was great. It also helped the company through a slow financial period. So in the end, I'm glad it happened. Learned a ton. You know, regret selling it, like probably everybody does after they sell a company. But it was an amazing experience.
That's a really good segue into my next question. So now you're an advisor to 280 North. So I guess taking a lot of what you learned with Carsonified and DropSend, how are you applying that to 280 North?
Well, 280 North is doing something really exciting called Atlas, and it's essentially a tool to build web apps using Cappuccino, and it's just such an interesting, amazing idea that you can build once and deploy not just web apps but desktop apps. They work cross-platform, cross-browser. And really, it's interesting because what they're doing is taking away all the nuts and bolts that developers really shouldn't have to think about anymore. You know, you shouldn't have to mess with the DOM, this day and age. And I think basically Cappuccino and Atlas on top of that are basically saying, you know what, let's abstract some of that stuff away and let developers get on with creating brand new things. So, they asked me, you know, would you like to advise us and be a part of the company? I said, you know, I'm too busy to take some sort of official financial stake. So I'm just happy to give you advice, you know, as and when you need it. So it's a very informal relationship, and I'm not benefiting financially from it at all, but I just am really excited about what they're doing. And one of the smartest developers I've ever met, hands down, is Francisco Tomalski. one of the developers at 280 North. He's just crazy smart. He's one of the guys that actually built Safari for the iPhone. He worked directly with Steve Jobs on that, and he's a super smart guy. So I check it out. I think it's 280atlas.com is Atlas, and it's really interesting.
I've seen Atlas. I think they'd done some sort of feature. I think it was at South by Southwest last year, and they had launched their site, and it got like crashed the next day because they had so much traffic. And they had videos showing how you just like drag and drop, just like build interfaces, and it was just. I was thinking like I'm out of a job. I'm a designer. I can't do this anymore. I'm gonna have to quit because they just took my job away.
Well, and thankfully, there's still a big need for people like you. But it's cool, and I think what I tried to do is actually help them on the marketing front. You know, one thing I've noticed is a lot of developers, they're brilliant technologists, but they sometimes are bad at marketing. And the problem is you have to be able to do both. And so I've given them a couple ideas on marketing and you know financial structures and things like that. But I think that they've got the technology exactly right.
So I guess since you're advising them, what advice could you give just in general to like today's entrepreneur?
Well, I'd say the first thing is because probably all of you guys that are listening and girls are probably purely web-based. You know, you're not selling necessarily physical products, things like that. So I'd say number one thing is get good at analytics, you know, get your teeth into Google Analytics, into using Google Website Optimizer. Start doing using AdWords, and basically, really test the hell out of every single page in your site. You know, pick one item and do an A/B test until it's optimized, and then pick another thing on the page, do A/B test until it's optimized, and just rinse and repeat. You know, forever. Because I think, you know, we sort of believe that we can just throw up our sites and they're just going to kind of work. But, you know, a couple tweaks here and there and you can increase your signups or your sales, you know, by hundreds of percents. It's just crazy. So that's one thing for sure I'd recommend. The second thing I'd recommend is get good at producing content for your potential audience. You know, one of the reasons why we run Think Vitamin is to produce good content for web designers and developers. And that's because, you know, eventually that good karma is going to come back and people will hear about, you know, our conferences. And it's kind of a nice, you know, karmic circle. And also, you know, people want good content. You can, you know, entice them to do things like sign up to your newsletter by offering them a free ebook, you know, about whatever it is that your web app is about. Say your web app is about invoicing. Well, the best thing you could do is write an ebook about cash flow management and offer that for free, but only if people give you their email address. And so you can sign them up to the newsletter. You know, there's a couple things like that. You just got to do it. And I think that often as web designers and developers, we just forget, you know, the whole marketing side of things.
Yeah, I think that brings up a good point because I think, well, just in general, my personal thing is that people on the web in general just started to need to make a lot more content. I think businesses, just general businesses that have, you know, successful sites out there of their own site, they need to find more ways to talk about their customers, and they need to find more ways to take that and put that onto their site and turn that into, you know, content that educates like you are. Like, your customers is the web developer and designer community. And, you know, with Think Vitamin, you're able to give back constantly all year long, not just at the events and what you do with that. So that's really awesome. I guess the takeaway then is to just go crazy about optimization. Make sure you have every page optimized that matters to your user, and to take care of them in terms of content and help educate them.
Totally.
So, you bet. So what, Ryan? What do you have on your plate that's super secret? Like, what's on the near horizon for Carsonified that's just something that nobody knows about that you have to tell everybody today?
That's the problem. I can't tell you. I would love, you know, to let you guys know about a secret site that we're going to launch, but my wife will kill me if I do.
Do you have a time range?
I think we're aiming for March. So, but it's going to be a lot of fun and just a nice break for everybody in our community. So we're aiming for that. So we're kind of building a website, going to launch it. It actually might be an engine for a web app. But I'm not going to promise that because we're just going to try to sort of build it for ourselves. And if we think it works, then we might turn it out to web app if we have time. But you know, we're really excited about Chirp. I mean, you know, the Twitter conference is happening in April. We're really excited about future web apps in Miami and future web apps in Dublin. And to be honest, we have so much stuff right now. I don't think I have much space for secretness at the moment. But you know, in general, we just love every minute of designing and building websites.
Yeah. I know your feeling on being kind of too busy, and you really don't have – I don't know the feeling quite as deep as you do because you have quite a bit going on with producing Chirp. That's really awesome too, and Chirp is – I think everything surrounding Twitter is really fun, and there's a very deep, unique story that's going on with the web and the real-time connectivity between people and Twitter and the connection. Like, there's so many people that I meet just through Twitter – because they get interested in something I'm doing. It comes back to producing content and then being there listening to your audience on Twitter. It's such a wild space to be in.
Totally.
But I think it's fantastic, this Chirp conference, and you guys are producing that.
Yeah, thanks. We're working with Twitter on that, and they're just dream clients. You know, they're lots of fun and laid back, and they're amazing. So, yeah, I'm super excited about that.
And so did Mike do the design part of that too, the Chirp site?
He did. Yep, 100%. And there's actually a secret hidden portal on the site. And if you haven't found it yet, keep looking, because there's kind of a fun little treat if you can find it on the site.
Awesome. So that's your super secret thing then, right?
Yeah, I'll let that be my super secret thing.
Awesome. I guess before we close, let's mention future web apps, because I'm going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that's when?
It is February 22nd through the 24th in Miami. And if you just head to events.carsonified.com or carsonified.com on the homepage, it talks all about it. But Gary Vaynerchuk's going to be there. Tara Hunt, one of the best and smartest investors in the whole world, is going to be there. A guy named Fred Wilson. John Rezig, the creator of jQuery, is going to be there. Palmpre, the guys are going to be there. It's going to be an absolute blast. So I hope you guys can make it.
Yeah, for sure. And what's the next event happening after that?
Future Web Apps Dublin is happening, if you guys, anyone is listening in the UK, and that is later on the year, and also Future Web Design London. So lots of stuff going on. If you just follow @carsonified on Twitter, we will let you know.
But yeah, Ryan, it was awesome to have you on the show. I think, you know, I'm finally glad to actually get a chance to have a personal conversation with you, and this personal conversation is actually going to get broadcast to all the listeners of the Web 2.0 show, I guess. So but it's really awesome to have a chance to chat with you. I think everything you're doing is awesome, and I love the story of just helping to give back and constantly inspire us web developers and designers and entrepreneurs. It's a fantastic story.
Oh, thanks, Adam. It's a real honor to be on the Web 2.0 show. You guys have been going at it for ages, and huge respect. So thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Web 2.0 Show. Be sure to check out web20show.com for links in the show notes or to leave a comment on the show. Thanks for listening.